Okay, we welcome you back for the next segment of the program. We take a look at the questions which our listeners sent through. Let's start off with this question, Mufti Saab. Is it correct for a man who stays about a 10-minute drive from the nearest masjid to perform all his salah in the namaz room of his house? He only goes for the weekly Jum'ah salah. Please elaborate.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In terms of the salah in the masjid, it is necessary for men to perform the salah in jama'ah. And according to some opinions, it's sunnah mu'akkadah, and some say it's wajib. Now, with regards to this person traveling the distance of 10 minutes to perform his salah, then we would say that there is a distance in which, you know, people travel multiple times a day. We find that, you know, a mother will pick up her children by madrasa, drop them off by, you know, by madrasa again, pick them up from school, and 10 minutes is a distance that a person would travel frequently in the daytime. And therefore, we would say that this person should go to the masjid and perform the salah in the masjid. It is not correct for the person to make their salah on their own at home and not go to the masjid, only go for the Jummah. The person should go to the masjid and perform all five salahs in the masjid. Obviously, if the person is old and it may be difficult to go for all five salahs, then that is a different matter. But under normal circumstances, the person should go to the masjid, and this will be, there was a group in the, you know, in the time of the Sahaba who wanted to move their home closer to the masjid so that they could, you know, it would be easier for them to go to the masjid. And the Prophet said, no, diyarakum tuktabu atharakum. Remain where you are. Mm-hmm. Every step of yours to the masjid will be a means of reward for you.
Really amazing. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum, respected Mufti. How many minutes before Maghrib can Asr Salah be performed when you are very late?
So when the sun starts changing color, then it becomes makruh to perform the Asr Salah. Mm. But it can still be done. And it's makruh, but it can still be done. And it can even be done up until the moments when the sun is setting. It still will be valid. So it can be made, but the best time is to stop once the sun starts changing color. One should try to perform it before that. So we're looking at around 20 minutes before sunset. One should try to at least be done before that. After that, it's makruh, but it's still valid, and it's still valid even up until the moments when the sun is setting.
Okay. Can we buy clothing and groceries from a store that openly supports LGBTQ?
So in this case, you know, in the sense of the laws of the Sharia, remember that non-Muslims are not bound by the Sharia. Hmm. So that's obviously against the Sharia. They have, they're not bound, they only instruction. So from your point of view, it would be permissible to buy from them. But if there's a strategic boycott that is being established against this company so that they can change their stance, then it would be better not to support them. But in terms of a person who buys because of the price being good and there's nothing LGBTQ about the actual item, then it's permissible to buy from the company.
Okay. After the wedding ceremony, a girl usually goes to her parents' home for the wida. Please, can Mufti Saab explain the sunnah way of leaving after the wedding?
So to just keep it short, in the sense that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken or arranged for Sayyidah Fatima, his daughter, to be taken to the home. So therefore, you know, that arrangement can be made. And beyond that, you know, having a specific wida ceremony and, you know, having it as outlined in the question, there's no need for a wida ceremony. That is not part of the simple thing is that now that the nikah has been completed, it is now for the girl to be taken to the parent, to her husband's home, and that is what needs to be done. So, and to make it a moment of crying and mourning and wailing and all of that, that is unbecoming.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab, salams. Well, we have the privilege of seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam family and all the other prophets in the hereafter.
Yes, inshallah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us death with iman. Our good deeds are more than our evil deeds, and that we grant an entry into Jannah. And yes, there, inshallah, we'll be able to see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. May Allah honor us with that.
Ameen, ameen. Okay, another question, Mufti Sahab. It might be a bit lengthy, but a bit confusing, but let's just try and go through it, right? Backbiting is known as a major sin. But if we backbite others and we know that they will never come to know about it, but will they still take away from our good deeds on the day of justice?
So you still backbited them. The aspect of making tawbah is asking them for forgiveness. So if you've just backbited them, you've committed a major sin, and now you need to make tawbah for it. But if they've come to know about it, then you've violated their rights, and then in that sense, you need to ask them for forgiveness. Now, will they take away from your good deeds on the day of Qiyamah? Until they don't come to know, then it is between you and Allah. And once they've come to know, then it's between you and them. So, you know, either way, we need to be careful about this. We shouldn't say no, that, okay, if we backbite in secrecy and they never come to know about it, then we'll just make tawbah and it will be end of the story. When it comes to sins, we don't know which sin will be the one that breaks the camel back, the one that will be critical for us, and the one that will cause all the difference in terms of our position.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Another question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Yusuf Sahab. We learn a lot from Radio Islam from our intelligent ulama. My new non-Muslim neighbor, she sent food to us. I didn't want her to feel bad, and gave away the food to beggars, washed the container, filled sweets, and returned it to her. Next time, can I explain to her we only eat halal? Please guide us on how to deal with situations and how to approach these circumstances.
Yes, an interesting question, in the sense that, you know, the fact is that she sent the food and now you do not want the food. So if the food is not halal food, then you're not allowed to even give it away to the beggars, because food that is not halal, you cannot give it to a Muslim, nor can you give it to a non-Muslim. That needs to be disposed of. So if it is, you know, if the time is opportune, maybe without telling her about the food, in a very tactful manner, you can then explain to her at another occasion about the concept of halal in Islam, and how, you know, it's pure, that when you slaughter the animal in a halal manner, you know, it's done in a humane way for the animal, it's a means of purifying the meat itself and all of that. So if you explain that concept to her without making reference to the gift that she had given, perhaps that will, you know, enlighten her, and it will get the message to her indirectly.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Let's take a look at the next question, right? Can Mufti Sahab please explain if a person doesn't read any Sunnah Salah in their Salah?
Okay, so perhaps they're talking about the Sunnah before or after. That is a source of deprivation. A person, you know, the continuously leaving out the Sunnah Mu'akkada, one will be sinful. The two before Fajr, four before Dhuhr, two after Maghrib, two after Isha. If one leaves it out, makes a practice and a habit of leaving that, one will be sinful. So one should be consistent with the Sunnah Mu'akkada.
Okay, Mufti Sahab, can I give my nephew Zakat?
Yes, you can give your nephew. The people that you cannot give Zakat are your roots and your shoots, meaning your ascendants and descendants, so your parents, grandparents, and your children, grandchildren. You can't give them, but you can give your nephews, your siblings, etc. They are allowed to be given zakat.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. Please tell me, when is the istima? I think they mean the ijtima.
Yes, so some people call it ijtima, which would be a huge gathering. istima would mean to listen attentively. So when you go to the ijtima, then you should istima. When you go to the ijtima, then you should listen very attentively and not spend your time at the tuck shop or in the bookstores or wandering around or catching up with friends, but rather you should listen attentively. So Mulana, you can tell us more about the date and how preparation is underway.
Alhamdulillah, preparation is going very well throughout the month of Ramadan. A lot of preparations have been taking place, alhamdulillah. I'm sure there is still work that is needed, and you know, especially for the men you free during the day, especially on weekends, you can still go and help, etc. The dates have been set from Friday the 26th of April. That's actually next week Friday. And that is, you know, because now Saturday will then be a public holiday, etc. So it commences on Friday the 26th and it ends on Monday the 29th. From the 26th of April till the 29th of April, it's the Ijtima year in Indonesia. It is opposite the tech grounds in Extension 11, opposite those grounds, very close to, right on the doorstep of Masjid Khalid bin Walid.
May Allah Ta'ala make it a great success, and you all should take maximum benefit.
Ameen, ameen. Okay, here's an interesting question, Mufti Sahib. Can a non-Muslim make a dua or a bad dua for a Muslim?
وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that the dua of the kafir is in deviation, meaning it has no effect. So in that sense, they cannot make a dua. But if you violate the rights of a non-Muslim and in that state of oppression, you know, they call out, then you should be careful of that. So generally the prayer of the non-Muslim, it's no use asking them, pray for me or make dua for me. It has no effect.
Okay, another question. Please advise for a dua for siblings to increase our love and unity.
So, you know, read the word of the name of Allah, Ya Wadudu, abundantly. That will, inshallah, be a means of increasing the love.
All right. Can Mufti Sahib please advise, if a lady is divorced and if her ex-husband now passes away, can she go to his funeral to comfort and support her children?
Yeah, so she's not going to have any interaction. The husband has passed away. Her children are there. She's going to comfort them for the loss of their father. So, yes, she can go to the funeral as a means of taziyat to comfort the bereaved. She should obviously go in the appropriate manner that is prescribed by the Sharia in terms of addressing and in terms of you know, how a lady is permitted to leave the home.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib. Can I fast now in the month of Shawwal on Friday? I was told I cannot fast on Juma as it is a big day, bigger than Eid, which I know Juma is bigger than Eid. I have started my Shawwal fasts.
Yes, you can fast on Juma. You know, the detestability of fasting on a Friday is to single out Friday specifically for fasting only. But in the case where you're fasting your days of Shawwal, then yes, in that case, you can fast on a Juma also. That would be fine. There's no problem with fasting on a Juma. If you want to keep your Shawwal fast, you know, continuously, and Juma has come in between, then there's no problem with fasting on a Juma.
Okay, Mustafa, another question. Do you perform khutbah traveling?
Khutbah traveling...
Not too sure. Actually, the way they've spent...
If the person is performing Juma, or no, then if you are traveling, then the Juma, you won't perform the Juma. If you're traveling, you're making on your own, you'll perform Dhuhr Salah. So there will be no khutbah for that. You will read your Dhuhr Salah, which is as a traveler, two rakats. If you are, performing Juma as a group, there will be a khutbah and there will be the two rakats of Juma Salah. That is the two scenarios that comes to mind. I'm not sure what other possible scenario you're thinking of here.
Yeah, no, I think those two should be fine, Mufti Sahib. Let's take a look at more questions that have come through, right, Mufti Sahib? From what age a boy should sleep separate from the mother?
From the age of 10. بوي مروا أولادكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء 7 سنين واضربوهم عليها أبناء 10 وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. So from 10 years they should be separated in the bed between boys and girls and even a boy sleeping with his mother from the age of 10 onwards. Obviously, you know, the clothing moves, there's a possibility of kashf al-awra and all of that. So therefore, from the age of 10, this should be observed.
Right. Now, you know, these questions normally come about during this time of the year. The females especially want to keep the Shawwal fast, but then they worried about the qadha. So the question is, does a woman have to first keep the must fast of Ramadan before keeping the fast of the 6 days of Shawwal? Or can they keep the Shawwal fast without having kept the qadha of Ramadan?
Just a line went bad. Can you repeat the question?
Okay, so the question is all about the Shawwal fast and qadha fast. So the question is, does a woman have to first keep the must fast of Ramadan before keeping the fast of the 6 days of Shawwal? Or can they keep the Shawwal fast without having kept the qadha of Ramadan?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The fast of Shawwal are mustahab, and they may be kept at any time during the month of Shawwal. A woman who missed her fast in Ramadan may make up her qadha for them in Shawwal or any time during the year besides the 2 days of Eid, as well as the 11th, 12th and the 13th of Zulhijjah. So she may keep the six fasts and then make up the qadha for the fast of Ramadan. It's permissible to fast the six fasts of Shawwal before making up the must fast. However, it's better to prioritize an obligation, the must fast, over a sunnah fast, which is the fast of Shawwal.
Okay, equally interesting in this regard, Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to make an intention of qadha for fast that were must in Ramadan and also for the six sunnah fast of Shawwal? So double intention.
With regards to combining intentions in fasting, meaning making up the must fast of qadha and the six fast of Shawwal, then one should have one primary intention, and that is the qadha. That is what needs to be observed in terms of your qadha. And then, you know, as a secondary intention, a person may make the intention that I am fasting in the month of Shawwal, may Allah reward me for also fasting. But you cannot combine and fulfill both. So in the sense that it cannot be done for both, that you are fasting for qadha and the sunnah fast in one. First you need to fulfill your qadha, and then the sunnah fast will come after that. So you cannot combine it. But as a secondary intention, if you make the intention that I am fasting and may be a means of me getting the reward, because when we look at the fast of Shawwal, then it's stated that the person who fasts the month of Ramadan and then fasts the 6 days of Shawwal, then that person, it will be as though the person had fasted the entire year. So you have not yet completed your Ramadan because you have qadha of Ramadan. So you need to first complete your Ramadan, qadha, and then fast the 6 days. And in that way, inshallah, you'll get the reward of the fast of the entire year. However, if a person wants to fast the 6 days, finish now and complete the qadha at a later stage, that will also be permissible.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Very quickly, Mufti Sahib, if someone is keeping Shawwal fast and by mistake they have sexual intercourse with the wife during fasting, is there any kafara?
No, there's no kafara. One will just repeat that fast. That is all that needs to be done.
Okay, final question for today, Mufti Sahib. Due to my mother's illness, she did not fast. Is there any way for her to repay for her fast? For example, a zakash that she should pay?
So the thing is that she should fast that when she has the strength. When she has the strength, she should fast. As long as we have hope that she will recover and she'll have the strength to fast, then she should fast. So, inshallah, Allah grants her the strength to be able to fast.